Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Take your Bibles. Well, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel, if you would, please. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, girls, for singing, and got to travel with them for a couple of weeks this summer, and sure enjoyed being with them. Thank you for all of you that put this together. Brother Collins, you did a good job. I'd love to see your blood pressure about now, and it's starting to go down right now because it's all over, amen. And this idea kind of started off at school camps years ago, probably 30-some years ago at Hammond Baptist, and then quite a few years ago now, the college did the Spirit Week, and I think it's been a tremendous asset to the school. Visitors, thank you for coming. I apologize in some ways, but I'm glad you get to see the spirit of our college. I'm glad you get to see a bunch of young people having a good time, not burning anything down, not destroying or defacing buildings too much. And but I think you get the idea that we love having a good time. We love each other. We love winning. Amen. But more than anything else, we love serving Jesus, as the girls sang about. I want you to take your Bibles and again turn to Daniel chapter 3, please. We're going to jump right into it, and I appreciate it. I knew the time would be long in front of the message, so I knew that and was prepared for that. But I do, so it'll only be an hour, so don't worry about it. Daniel chapter 3, and I want you to look down in verse 8 and then keep your Bibles open for a while. I'll pray and we'll jump into the message, but keep your Bibles open even after a pray there at this passage. In verse 8 says, "Wherefore, at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, they spake and said to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true? Is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that ye shall deliver you, that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I'm going to speak on the subject on the verse 18. It says, but if not, but if not. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. We've had a great time, and the Lord, I sure love seeing young people enjoy life. But it's all about the eternity to come. It's all about serving Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that today they'll understand a little bit more about that travel of their faith, that journey that they're on. I pray, God, that you'll help us to understand the message in Jesus' name. Amen. These three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were at this point in time of their lives, the Bible doesn't give their age or their standing necessarily, other than that they had some measurable leadership, but they were mature Christians. Now, all of us feel at some point in time that we're mature Christians. Many of us here have been saved since we were children. And living the Christian life, most of you going through Christian school, but all being in fundamental Baptist churches, you probably feel you got the Christian life down. But these young men had come to a level that you and I have not been to. They've gone to a level of maturity that we have not attained yet. You see, these guys were taken captive and they've seen their houses burned and their land destroyed and many of their friends and loved ones and maybe even parents killed, murdered. And now they're slaves in a foreign country and they're still serving Jesus when many of their brothers and sisters in Christ had turned and gone a different way. Many of the folks in the land were worshiping these gods and bowing down to the God that Nebuchadnezzar had created. Once they heard the music and everybody else began to kneel and bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had decided that they weren't going to, and they didn't. And according to Scripture, I mean, there was nobody else mentioned or named that was deserving of the punishment of that day. So here, taken captive, their world destroyed, their lives destroyed, standing literally alone. In verse 15, if you look back at it, quickly, please. Verse 15, it says down at the bottom that Nebuchadnezzar, of course, gave them another opportunity. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. First of all, he looked at him in the front part of that verse. It says, is it true? Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, I'm really looking and thinking, you know, many of you brought co-workers here and you work at places, and I wonder how many of your coworkers are watching you to see if what you live and how you live, is it true? Is it true? Are you living the life because everyone else around you lives it? It's easy to be a Christian in a crowd of Christians. But when you got to stand alone, and now these men are standing before King Nebuchadnezzar, they've seen the capabilities of this man. He destroyed Jerusalem. And he looks at him and he says, is it true? Are you guys for real? Are you really going to do this? Now, at the sound of the music, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. And then if you don't, then you're going to go to the fiery furnace and we're going to see. It says in the bottom of verse 15, it says, who is that God? We're going to see whose God is real. Because you see, in this day and age, or that day and age, and even in this, there are multiplicities of gods that they worshipped. And now Nebuchadnezzar makes one, literally creates a god himself, which makes him a god. And so he's going to have a show here to see whose God is real. And I do believe that you and I are watched often, daily, by neighbors, friends, loved ones, relatives, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, to see if our God is real to us. Then we see these young men that have been saved, so to speak. They've lived for Jesus. They've lived for the Lord. They've trusted in the God of their fathers. But many of us have been saved, and we'd like to have this kind of faith, but we've not been tried like that. This faith comes to mature Christians, as I said. President Trump has been quoting Mike Tyson. Two great Christians, by the way. And he said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And that's true. Everyone has faith until they don't. You have faith until you get punched in the mouth. You have faith until everybody else around you changes. I want you to look at this story here and open your Bible back up again. And I've read several things, but now he says, in verse 16, it says, King, we're not careful to answer thee. In other words, you know what? This We don't have to think about this. We already know what our answer is. I mean, if I were to say, how many of you are for the juniors? Okay. Now, you didn't have to think about that. Right? You didn't have to consider, well, am I really? How many of you are for the seniors? Okay. You didn't have to say, well, oh yeah, what team am I on? Should I shout? Should I not? No, I'm for them. I'm in. They didn't have to talk to each other. They didn't say, King, can we talk to each other? Can we consider this? There was no consideration. They weren't going to bow down. They weren't going to worship another God. And then they answered with this little bit more of a mature answer than most Christians would have given. They said, if it be so. If it be so. In other words, if we have to go to the furnace, our God is able to deliver us. We know that. That level of Christianity, that level of faith is at a level to where they knew what God can do. Then they said, but if not. But if not. You say, well, you know what? It's a great story. Well, to you and me, it's a great story. To me and you, we have the Bible, so we know what happens. They did not know what was going to happen. They were brought up in front of the crowd, and they were challenged, and their faith was challenged in front of everybody. Their faith was challenged in front of the king that destroyed their land. Then their hands were bound, and their feet were bound. Now, the Bible doesn't describe the furnace other than the fact that it was a pit or some kind of pit, and I would guess it would have to be in the ground. But this angered the king when they said, we will not. And being bound hand and foot, standing there in front of everybody, you know, and now it gets a little bit more intense. Because now they can literally, their toes felt the heat of that fire. And it's pretty easy to stand for God when things are going good. And it's sometimes okay when they're going bad. When they're going fire hot, then you're all of a sudden really, you got to reconsider what you're doing. These guys just didn't wake up that morning and say, you know what, I'm sick of this king. I'm going to rebel today. No, they weren't rebelling. They were standing for what they believed. And the fire began, they began to feel it. And Nebuchadnezzar got furious and he got angry and he said, heat it up. How many times? 7 times hotter. And when the men maybe opened the mouth of it, he brought in his strongest men and most powerful men, and the fire came out and licked it up. And I'm going to guarantee you that most Christians would have looked at that and said, you know what, maybe bowing down is not a bad idea. And they see those soldiers being screaming and hollering in that flame. And the Bible says that they fell into it. Doesn't say they were pushed. Doesn't say they were thrown. It says, bound hand and foot, they fell into it. And this, of course, got the attention of everybody as Nebuchadnezzar looks down and he asks his men, he says, I thought we threw 3 guys in. Did we not? Yeah. Well, I see 4 in there. I see 4. And then this is one of the most interesting statements in all the Bible. He said, and one looks like the Son of God. I was looking at that again this morning and I thought, well, why? How did he know it was the Son of God? And boy, the thought hit me about an hour ago. You know what? I don't care who you are in this world. When you see God, you're going to know He's God. I think every atheist in the world, when they see God, they're going to say, that's God. I think everybody that has discounted God, when they walk into heaven and they or hell or wherever, and they stand there and they see who God is, they're going to know, of all the people in heaven, that's God. And even in a fiery furnace, as the only thing burned, because he said, he called them out, the Bible says. He says, hey, come out of here. And they came out. They walked out. The only thing burned on them were their bindings. The bindings of their hand, the bindings of their feet, they were gone. The Bible says their hats weren't singed, their hair wasn't singed. There was no disfigurement of their faces. That still would have been a wonderful miracle if their clothes had burnt and their faces were dismembered, so to speak, and rearranged and melted. And that still would have been a unique victory. But I think God was showing Nebuchadnezzar, no, I can take care of them all the way. All the way. I don't want you to get credit for anything. I don't want you to even smell smoke on them. These young men lived a very victorious life. Fire had no power. The king who thought he was a god realized he wasn't the god. He realized he wasn't the man in charge. And I'm not going to be long, and I know every preacher in the world says that, but I mean it today. Where does this kind of faith come from? How in the world did these three boys, of all the Israelites that were taken captive, how did these three boys reach that level? Because you know what? there is a sequence here. First of all, they had faith in the ability of God. They knew what God can do. They knew God could deliver them. And I think you do too. I think everyone in this room has that college kind of training, that level, so to speak, in Christianity, to know what God can do. You get that from spending time in your Bible. You get that from reading God's Word and obeying God's Word. You get that from serving God and obeying His commands. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We know that. We understand that. We read that and we believe that. They knew what God can do, that His ability. If you've looked at the moon the last couple of nights, so you look at it, you cannot help but think of God. And you look at what God can do. I was in out east in New Hampshire for a week on vacation, my wife and I, and it was just gorgeous, the White Mountains, and going up to top of Mount Washington and just to see everything. And the first thing that comes to your mind is, God is awesome. And as a Christian, knowing that He created everything, I get it. He can do anything. I know what His skills are. I know what His abilities are. The second level they went to is they had confidence in the willingness of God. And He will deliver us out of thine hand. They knew what God would do. They knew God didn't want to see His children burnt up. They knew God didn't want to see them disfigured. He knew that He wanted them to be and stand for a testimony. And even when they were feeling that heat to where it was reflecting off of them and they were wondering, you know, wonder how hot this is going to be. I wonder how much pain we're going to feel for a few moments while we go into an eternity. They had confidence in the willingness of God. This is trust. This is the level you get to where not only you believe what God can do, you also, or in His abilities, you believe in Him, you trust Him. You trust Him. We know God can, but do we trust Him? I know God can take care of my finances, but do we trust Him? You know, there are a lot of folks that have hurt us in our lives. I've had a pastor, a youth pastor, fail on me. But you know what? There are casualties in the spiritual warfare. But God has never been a casualty. God has never been defeated. And my trust is in Him, not in those around me that falter. God is God, and He is trustworthy. And third, they went to the doctorate level. Their maturity went to a level that you and I have probably not attained yet. They trusted in God's sovereignty. They trusted in God's sovereignty. You say, what's that? Sovereignty, God's sovereignty means God has a right to do anything to His own pleasure. They said if it's God's will, if it's so, then God will take care of us. But if not, we're okay with that. Because God, my God, can do anything He wants. And He can do anything He wants with me. But if not. They trusted God when they could not trace the purpose that He had for them. I like to, when I travel and take tour group out or travel on vacation, and you punch in the where you're going and it gives you the route. I like to look at the route. I want to see how I'm going to get there. And you know what? God doesn't always give us that. God didn't whisper in the air, just stand still, keep your hands folded. I got this. You're going to be okay in 30 seconds. He didn't tell them what was going to happen. He just let them feel the fire. He just let them feel the heat. He just let them see the men that were before them get eaten up by the fire and be disfigured. Faith and trust are choices that we have to make. That level of spiritual maturity or spiritual life is at a point in time where you will reach one day. You can reach. These fellas did. It's not a supernatural level. It's a level that the supernatural will help you to get to. But it's a level that you can attain one day if you have faith and trust in God. Faith always involves a risk. Without risk, without a risk, then you don't need faith. You don't need it. If there's no risk, if everything's easy, you don't need to trust in God. Oswald J. Sanders writes, and I'll quote this, "Deliverance from trial is not necessarily our highest good. It is not the highest form of spiritual blessing." We get thinking if we get delivered out of a trial and God makes everything right then, that's a spiritual blessing. Maybe, and it can be. But it's not only that. Deliverance from a trial is not necessarily our highest good. It is not the highest form of spiritual blessing. God did not deliver these men from the fiery furnace. He delivered them in it. But if not, all right, fellas, you're going to see what that means. But if not, that's putting their faith and trust in God. But if not, as they take their hands and their feet bound and they just fall in to that fire. But if not, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. His will is what I trust. His will is what I obey. God is fair and just. Make no mistake. But He doesn't treat everyone the same. Every one of us in this room are different. Different DNAs, different likes, different personalities. The singers that sang up all sing differently. They sing different parts and different tones. Every one of us are different. We come from different households. Some wealthy, some very poor. Some of you have parents who are pastors and are godly people. Some of your parents have parents that don't love the Lord and would never step foot in church. We all have different lives, and we wonder, why does God treat this person this way and me this way? Because God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He can do whatever He chooses to do. And He's never made a mistake doing it yet. He has never blown it. He's never scratched his head. He says, I wish I would have zigged when I zagged. He delivers some from trials, and He delivers some in trials. We become mature Christians not when we say, if it be so, but when we say, but if not. I'll quit with this. In 1994. We are just finishing up. It was Thursday night of our pastor school in Hammond. And we had been working at the church, many of us. And they were doing a banquet up in Chicago, and I was getting ready to leave the house to head up to that banquet. And I got a call from Betty McCurdy, dear friends of ours, and said she was just crying and said, our son fell in a swimming pool and drowned. I rushed to the hospital over at St. Mary's in Hobart here. And as soon as I drove up, Tim, his wife, her husband, and Betty came out, and they were loading him into a helicopter to take little Clinton, 2 years old, up to Christ Hospital. And Betty and Tim got in my car as we were getting ready to watch the helicopter lift off and head up to the hospital. And Betty was just weeping and crying. And she says, oh, I wish we... And he goes, stop. Nobody is going to challenge God on this, ever. I mean, it was a statement that he made that was so powerful. I looked at him and he said, we are not going to challenge God on this. The next 3 days and 3 nights, they watched in the hospital. We prayed earnestly in prayer meetings and begged God to heal that boy. And he stayed in a vegetative state for the next 12 years. And all those 12 years, I watched Tim McCurdy cry. I watched him weep. One time, sitting at a dinner table, getting ready to eat supper, my phone rang, and I answered it, and it was Tim. And he was just weeping and crying, could hardly talk. I said, Tim, he drove a semi for UPS, and I thought, Tim, I said, what's going on? He says, I don't know. I said, where are you at? He said, I'm pulled over just north of Indianapolis. And he says, I just can't stop crying. I said, what's going on? He says, Ed. He said, I want God to get the glory from this. He said, and whatever God is trying to teach me or show me, I want to learn it. Pray that I learn it. Pray that we both, me and Betty, we learn this. And I did pray. And I began to continue to pray for them. About a year later, we were in a recording studio in Crown Point. Used to be a group there that had a studio, and they were recording an album for a quartet that Tim was in. And they were recording the song, Brother Collins, The God of the Mountains is Still God in the Valleys. And I was in the recording end of it. They were in the studio singing, and the engineer sitting there, and all of a sudden he just began to weep. I said, you okay? He says, I have an 8-year-old daughter. How can that man sing that song? How can he sing that song? It's like he was angry at him. And I said, he has faith in God. He just trusts the Lord. And he has. These last 30 years, I've seen him grow in the Lord. He's pastoring a church in Iowa now. God has used him and his wife in a great way. They had a Christianity at that time that was, we trust God. But they got to a level. They got to a level that said, but if not. God, you're still God. You're still God. And I trust you. I don't care what the heat does to me. I trust you. I don't care what fails happen in my life. I trust you. Can you say that tonight? Can you hope to say that one day? Can you hope to arrive at that level of faith one day? To if you go through a trial that God puts you in, can you say to Him, I know you can deliver me, but if not, would you bow your head and close your eyes? Let me just ask you a quick question. Say, Brother Lupino, you spoke to my heart this morning. If God has, the Holy Spirit has, would you do something? You can either come forward, you can pray at your seat. And if I may, there may be some of you here today. You don't understand it. Like that engineer at that recording studio, he didn't understand that kind of faith. You know why? Because he didn't have faith in Jesus Christ. He'd never put his faith and trust in God. So I believe in God, yeah, but you've got to accept His Son as your Savior. Believing in God and knowing who He is fine and wonderful, but Satan believes in God. The demons of hell believe in God. But have you trusted His Son, Jesus Christ? I challenge you, I don't care if you're a student or a visitor or a guest today. If you don't know that, let us take the Bible and show you today how you can know for sure who Jesus Christ is. And put your faith, start down that road of trust and acceptance of God. And understand one day the sovereignty of the Savior. How many of you are praying for somebody going through some deep waters today? Just lift your hand up. My hand's up. Pray for them right now. Pray that God will show Himself strong to them. Pray that God will make Himself available to them and give them a grace unlike they've never felt before. But if not, let that ring in your heart. But if not. You have the song up there, A Passion for Thee. Brother Collins, would you mind leading? On your knees, you don't have to go back to your seat. Just stay down there for right now. You need to look up at the words. Go ahead. Let's sing A Passion for Thee, Brother Collins.
Let's sing it together, shall we?